As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Bird to your mother, it's time for another episode of Birds with Friends. Just a trio of feathery brethren weathering any season to see the Eagles eat teams like Scrammy's topped with cheese. It's Philadelphia, Bo, Sheil, and Zach kicking it cooler than three penguins till Zach runs off with his valet keys. He's a real nuanced goose. Pull up a branch, get loose. It's time for some juice on some
Birds with Friends.
The early bird gets the worm, but prefers getting turned like a turn on some
Birds with Friends.
Bo, Sheil, and Zach coming at you with steps and things, flapping their wings on
Birds with Friends.
All I know is Zach said he has a game where Sheil don't read both 7,000 words, and I said I'm in. Let's go. Let's do it.
And so the
yeah,
purpose
that's
of
what I, really what I needed was not to get at least one more reader.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to an emergency Birds with Friends. Bo Wolf, Sheil Kapadia, Zach Berman, fresh off a 90-minute plus podcast last night that jinxed and cemented that today would be the day the news came down that we were all waiting for. We are here to service your needs and talk about all the angles of the breaking news. And so, Zach, I will start with you. Your reaction to the big news of the day, Ted Cruz returning to the United States.
I was consumed in other material. I saw that headline, but my focus was more on Carson Wentz returning to Indianapolis for the first time since the combine in 2016.
That happened as well. Sheil, how are you?
Well, I want to get back to that later. I'm good. I think anybody. I hope people listened to the last podcast. I think it was very well done. We covered a variety of topics. We did about a half an hour of Carson Wentz. We did a mailbag. We did other things. So hopefully, you BWF hipsters will listen to that. And I'm happy that this situation is resolved. I frankly could not have done. I don't know if I could have done another podcast speculating on where Carson Wentz was going to go. So we have resolution, and we'll get into all of that. In some ways, it is a nice refresh. It is a new beginning to an organization that had gotten very stale. It's not a complete fresh beginning, which I'm sure we'll get to that also. But they are going in a totally different direction now. I think you can look at it very much as kind of 2016 in a way when they brought in Doug Peterson and had Carson Wentz. And we'll see what they do. But I think it's going to make for an entertaining offseason and an entertaining discussion of what they will do going forward.
There is a little bit of intrigue that now is carried forward with this Eagles team. Zach, why don't you give us the actual breakdown? Let's send it over to the Stone Cold Newsman for some breaking news.
The Eagles have agreed to trade Carson Wentz to the Indianapolis Colts. The deal will not be official until the league year begins in March, March 17th. But the deal will be Carson Wentz to the Colts for a 2021 third round pick and a 2022 conditional second round pick that could become a first round pick if, and this was reported by Mike Garofalo of NFL Network,
former teammate of mine, yes.
And still a friend. Yep. Carson Wentz plays 75% at least 75% of the offensive snaps for the Colts, or 70%, and the Colts make the postseason. And from doing a little work on this today, it certainly sounds like the Eagles think there's a decent chance, I was going to say a good chance, but a decent chance to good chance that pick could become a first-round pick. So they think that they could potentially get a first-round pick for Wentz after all. But
I hope that wasn't coming from the Eagles medical staff telling you they think he's going to be healthy for... I mean, how do they know? They don't know if it's going to be healthy. They don't know what pick that's going to be.
And then the Eagles, and this is something we've discussed, and Bo did a great job writing this a week and a half ago, kind of outlining what would happen with a Wentz trade. The Eagles would absorb the biggest cap hit in NFL history, over $33 million. But as Shiel has outlined, they are getting out of the remainder of the contract, which is of value to them, as we will discuss. And so that's the cap ramifications. In terms of their pick haul, they now have... 4 top 100 picks this year. So that is something that we'll certainly be writing about quite a bit leading up to the draft, but they don't have those 2 first-round picks that maybe Eagles fans were hoping when the Wentz rumors really started.
Well, and I would just say that timeline-wise, you know, the state of the Eagles cap and the way that the roster is set, this allows them, and this is what we've been talking about with the dead money, which, you know, that money was already allocated to Carson Wentz this year. It was already going to get paid out. By trading him, they are getting out of their future obligations, not just the, you know, the $15 million that was guaranteed for next year, but that, you know, sizable $30-plus million hole or, you know, earmark that was there for next season. So what that the future pick allows them to do is next season, the Eagles are really finally set up, not finally, but the Eagles are set up to sort of swallow their pride this season, and they can sort of point towards next season when they will have salary cap to try to make some moves in free agency. And I think that pick next season, you know, that could be eventually bundled, sort of to move up. But they'll have next season, they will have, assets. And this season is just sort of about taking their medicine.
This exactly. is what I would have done, you know. If they would have called me up on January 2nd and said, "Shiel, we love the pod. We love the info on The Athletic. We want to get your opinion on what we should do about our quarterback situation. Here are the facts of where we stand right now. What do you think we should do?" This is the path I would have chose. You know,
knowing the respect they have for your work, by the way, they very well might have done that, and you're not saying
actually,
it. So.
Actually, I would say no way, knowing the lack of respect they have for my work. There's no chance they would have done that. But, you know, I think they looked at this, and we've been, you know, I feel like we're going on, 18 months of just, I don't know if it's that long, but certainly like the last year, it feels like we've basically just been crushing them on every episode, and rightfully so. I don't regret any of it. I think, you know, we've been on point from last year's free agency to the Slay trade, Hargrave signing, letting Jenkins go, the draft, some of the decisions in the summer, how they handled stuff during the season. I mean, generally the vibe of this podcast over the last year has been criticism. But I actually think in this situation, given where they were, they looked at this in a very analytically sound way, which was, all right, what are the potential outcomes for the different decisions we have? And so one outcome would have been keep Carson Wentz, go all in. He becomes a top 5, top 7 quarterback. Everyone's happy. We already signed him under contract. We go forward the way we had planned to go forward. Another outcome would be you try to do that. Carson Wentz, you know, can't beat Jalen Hurts out. Carson Wentz maybe plays and doesn't play well, and he's like the 15th best quarterback. And then it's kind of like, what are you doing? Because Bo, I think the point you made is the biggest point here. This isn't this couldn't have been a year by year thing with Carson Wentz. You know, if it was a contract where you said, all right, let's see what happens in 2021, we'll give it one more shot, and then we'll decide after that. That wasn't an option because you're guaranteeing $15 million of his salary the following year. So, I mean, this was really essentially a 2-year commitment that you had to make. So, you know, the other outcomes are Wentz doesn't play well, Hurts beats him out. And so I think when you look at all the different he gets injured again, you know, and if he plays so poorly next season, then no one's given up even what they gave up now, you know? So if he's like the 15th or 20th mm-hmm. best quarterback, then you're even in a bigger hole. So I think they looked at all that and they said, let's look at the next, whatever, 3 years. How can we get out of this cap situation? How can we kind of start fresh? It's not a likely outcome that he stays here, is happy, and plays really well. Let's move on and let's figure out what we're going to do at quarterback. So just going on the record, that is what I would have done if I were in their shoes.
I agree with you. And it's also like, it's also colored by Carson Wentz not wanting to be here. You know, obviously that calculation would change, but it's not just what I would have done. I think we have to say that some of us, like we were saying in December, that this is exactly what was going to happen. That maybe not precisely the trade details pegged as Sam Lynch, our friend, had on Twitter, basically nailed almost just one round off. But, you know, the day that Carson Wentz was benched for Jalen Hurts, you know, I said, that's it. It's over. Like, they're going to trade him because he's not going to want to be here. They're going to have to move on, and it's going to be time to reset the franchise. Like, so there were a lot of people who vehemently disagreed with that. And so that's, you know, something that maybe people are looking at on the bottom line, but,
look at Bo. He's like an NBA podcaster. Now you're going to get mad at the aggregators now, or what's, the next move? Saying, you need to
this
take
is
a
not
big
like,
place.
This is not like, well, you know, if you listen to us, we could have reported this, but we didn't report it. I'm just saying this is what we
that's
said.
That's always a
pet peeve
of mine. Exactly.
However, you could also make the argument that, you know, that they didn't, you know, I don't think that they knew that day when Jalen Hurts started the next day. I mean, I think there's an
I know. I don't we think knew this, before I don't, they knew.
I don't think this was like a, you know.
Well, don't say we because I was I'm not in the same camp as you. I don't mean to cut you off. I'll go fine. On to you.
No, yeah. I was just going to say, I don't think this was like a no-brainer decision. You know, I think
exactly.
I think there was a scenario where they hire a coach and the coach comes in and says, Howie, Jeffrey, Wentz, this, you cannot let this guy go. He's too talented. Let me work with him. I know it's been rough. As soon as I sign the papers here, I'm going to give him a call. Carson Wentz hears what he wants to hear from the guy. They say, we're going forward with Carson Wentz. We're going to build around him. This is still our guy. So I don't think that scenario was like completely out of the question on the day after Carson Wentz got benched for Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, I understand why they did it, and I can I don't fault them for doing it. I'm not gonna like celebrate them for doing it because what Shio outlined in terms of the outcomes, that's absolutely right. And I think that's how they think, and those are four plausible outcomes. That being said, the probability of each outcome occurring is not evenly distributed, right? So it's not like a 3-4 chance that the bad outcomes happen and a 1-4 chance that the good outcomes happen, right? You don't know. Like, that's the variable. And the potential rewards are different, too. We're talking about the Eagles facing this arduous rebuilding process. They have to get out of this cap quagmire they're in. They need to improve the young talent
quagmire
on the roster. But if you have a high-level franchise quarterback who's 28 years old and under contract, you could potentially survive or at least be competitive to an extent because the quarterback can raise the level of play around you. That's why they felt so comfortable investing in Carson, trading those picks for Carson Wentz in 2016, giving him that contract because they thought he was that type of player. He was not that type of player last year. You can argue he was a little below that type of player in 2018, 2019. But I don't think this is a situation where the Eagles, I doubt they were in the office today because it was a snow day and COVID. But if they were together, you know, Bo had that great anecdote his article when the Eagles went from 13-1, when they made the trade from 13-8, Howie Roseman said that was the first time that they were drinking in the office, basically. You know, he said they had celebratory shots for that occasion because it put them in range. I don't think this is one where, you know, they're doing victory laps around the building, glad-handing each other. Like,
I think
they're
right.
Doing this, they're making this, this is almost a somber decision. Not just because of the admission of you know, that this didn't work, all those things they did. I wrote a few weeks ago about the organizational failure that it of reaching this point, but also because you don't know if this is the right decision. And if they struggle to find a quarterback, which is entirely plausible, they have Jalen Hurts under contract. We'll talk about that. They could draft one this year. They could draft one next year. But if Carson Wentz goes on to become a high-level quarterback elsewhere, and you had him under contract, and you're playing that quarterback shuffle for the next few years, you look at this and say exactly what she was saying. Maybe they should have tried to make it work. Maybe they should have gone and said, I know you have your issues here. We're going to do everything we can to create an infrastructure and an environment to fix you, because a high-level quarterback is a scarce asset, and we value it so much.
I think you're right that they view this sort of appropriately as, you know, not a celebratory moment. It's just sort of the medicine that they had to take, and they did the best they could with the hand they were dealt. I don't really agree, and we've talked about this before, that how Carson Wentz does with the Colts matters that much, because it wasn't going to work out here anymore. These two sides were headed towards divorce. It's like, yeah, you break up with someone and you're like, you're not going to root for them to, you know, be unhappy. Or like if they have a happy relationship somewhere else, that doesn't reflect poorly on you necessarily.
I totally disagree. What are you, nuts? Are you crazy? Of course it does.
You break up with someone
and then they start dating someone who's better looking than you, better job, people like him more, better dresser. Of course you're going to be like, oh my gosh, you're going to feel like a total failure.
That's true.
I don't know. You might have these clean breaks. I'm not familiar with that type of change
the fact that you two should have broken up. That's really what I mean.
Maybe not. He's not going to he's not going to like the Kansas City Chiefs and like Andy Reid and this unbelievable supporting cast. You know, he's going to like a very, I would say a mediocre offensive supporting cast. Now they do have cap space, so maybe they could upgrade that. Their offense has not been like a juggernaut. I know they've had three different quarterbacks the last 3 years. It's been okay. It's been mediocre to above average. And so if he goes there and they like go on this run where they're making AFC title games and they're ranking in the top five in DVOA and he looks like a top 10 quarterback, then that reflects terribly on you because you had so much invested in this guy and you couldn't come up with a way to fix it. And you admitted that you couldn't fix it. Now, I know Carson Wentz didn't want to be in Philadelphia, but this goes back to the discussion we had previously. I mean, if you believed that you could fix him and that he could lead you to Super Bowls, then you're not taking the course of action that you just took. It's kind of both the things combining at the same time, where Carson Wentz is saying, you know what, I think I could probably use a fresh start and go somewhere else. And the organization saying, you know what, we're not in great cap space. Like maybe you would be good here, but we're not sure that you would. All right, this is probably our best course of action. Like I don't view this as them just doing Wentz a favor. Like the player wanted out, we are trading the player and moving on. I don't think that's the like list, you know, the number one reason on why Carson Wentz isn't an Eagle anymore.
I think that's right. I agree with that.
Okay.
I mean, listen, I'm not above being petty.
So you just break up and then that's it? Yeah, no attention, you move on, you're fine.
No,
huh?
But maybe it wasn't the best analogy. But I do think that, you know, how Carson Wentz does with the Colts, it will reflect poorly on the Eagles if he's very good next year.
Yeah.
Definitely. But it doesn't change that this was the right decision.
No, and that's the thing. There was so much baggage here, and it's I don't want to say like I wrote this 2 weeks ago, but like I don't.
I mean, just so I'm not talking
2 weeks ago.
No, yeah. There's so much baggage here, and you can't put the toothpaste back in the tube, so to speak. Right? Like it would have been hard for them after not giving the endorsement at the end of the season with how disappointed Carson was. But what I do think you could have done, and Bo, you mentioned this last night, is at the end of the season, they could have fired Doug, okay, which they did, and said, Carson is our guy. We are going to do everything we can to support him because we believe that he is a franchise quarterback. We've made this investment in him. He's not like every other player, that kind of thing. They did not do that, right? And so once they went on the course of action they did, it speaks to Shields' point. They had the doubt in their mind, and if they have the doubt in their mind, then go on forward with this. I'm just saying that this isn't a great outcome for the organization.
Yeah.
Making the investment that they did in him, trading him at 28 years old, not like the Chiefs trading Alex Smith to go to Patrick Mahomes, not like the Rams trading for an upgrade, trading him just to get him out of the building, basically, right, without having that upgrade. That is a bad outcome for the organization.
Yeah, I mean, 3 years ago, this team was coming off a Super Bowl title with how old was Carson Wentz at that time? 26?
25 years old,
yep. Coming off an unbelievable season. A coach who had just out-dueled Mike Zimmer and Bill Belichick with Nick Foles as his quarterback. And, I mean, you could have taken a poll, and we probably said it on this podcast, that there probably weren't many quarterback-head coach combinations at that time that you would have taken over the Eagles. I mean, really, after they won the Super Bowl, there might not have been one, you know?
I mean, even in August, it would have been right, like a top five tandem.
Yeah.
I was thinking today, and I was up, and I'm working on a story on this. A year ago, basically to this day, a week ago, a year ago next week, the Eagles were in Indianapolis, right? They had issues they were trying to figure out, and there was stuff behind the scenes with the new coaching staff. But they felt confident in this coach-quarterback combination that they had, right? They could not have foreseen a year from now both would be out of the building.
Yeah, no way. Absolutely. Yeah. So you look at that, and, Zach's written it about it being an organizational failure, and I would agree with you. I don't think they're strutting around. I don't think there's going to be any leaks about, the Eagles were surprised at, what a great compensation package they got for Carson Wentz. The Eagles are really excited about moving forward. I mean, maybe there will be. I will never underestimate some of the people in our business who will just take anything they hear and run with it. But I don't think that's going to be the case. I think in the building, they got to be bummed. And, think about the decision makers. I mean, Howie Roseman, this was his move, This mm-hmm. was his move to acquire Carson Wentz. Like, if Howie Roseman retired tomorrow and you wrote, you were writing about him, you would obviously have the Super Bowl winning. He was a Super Bowl winning GM. And how did he get there? What was the big move that he made to get there? Was orchestrating these trades, getting rid of bad contracts, moving up to get Carson Wentz, who leads them. And then Nick Foles obviously wins the Super Bowl there. So it's like a huge thing on his resume. It does not reflect well on him. It doesn't reflect well on Jeffrey Lurie, given his past comments and what they paid Carson Wentz and having the biggest dead cap hit in NFL history. It doesn't reflect well on anyone in the organization that they had to move on from Carson Wentz right now. So,
well, that leads us into a good question. Let's allocate your turkeys of blame for it getting to this point where the divorce was needed between Doug Peterson, Howie Roseman, Carson Wentz, and Jeffrey Lurie. How would you allocate the blame on going from having a franchise quarterback a year ago to, having to send him packing?
I would go, I would go 44 Carson Wentz, and then 20 for the other three.
Okay. It's interesting because we don't know, we talked about this on the podcast last night, the specifics of why Carson Wentz is so upset with the organization, why he believes it had gotten to the point of no return. But I think he certainly deserves a lot of the blame. So many steps along the way, surrounding him with this bad offense, surrounding him with bad talent. You talked about it last night, Zach. Like they tried to allocate resources to the offense. They just failed at the players they were picking. I think that the state of the organization, I think Jeffrey Lurie bears a lot of responsibility, but the specific Carson Wentz situation, I actually don't think that he is the most culpable. So I would put him even lower. I'd put him, you know, closer to 5 or 10 on this situation. And then I'd go, let's say Carson 45, Howie 30, Doug 20.
I've got Carson 35, Doug 25, Howie 25, and Lurie 15.
Okay.
I mean, I think, you know, I agree that they did not do a great job of, you know, surrounding Carson Wentz with the right pieces, and the scheme was not good. It was actually terrible last year. It kind of went downhill. But at some point when you're making the move you did to trade up for Carson Wentz and you're paying $128 million, that's the guy you expect to have a high enough floor that you're not having the type of season that you had last year. Maybe he's not. We know it doesn't always work in a way that that guy's lifting everybody else up. You know, Deshaun Watson had a great statistical season last year and they won 4 games. So that isn't always the case. But I mean, he was a huge part of the problem, and whether it was not being able to kind of the leadership, the locker room stuff. I mean, that might have been a smaller part of it, more so than just turning the football over and not being able to hit a 5-yard receiver in stride on a 5-yard, you know, shallow crosser. And so
all day, like every game.
Every game, and the fumbles and everything. And so, you know, I think at some point when the guy's in his fifth year as a quarterback and that's the performance you're getting, that's where I'm going to start with the criticism and then kind of trickle down from there.
The one thing I think we can say is that given the way it played out, that Doug left and Carson still didn't want to come back tells you at least that his, you know, his beef was not just with Carson. It was with Howie and the organization as a whole.
Should they have kept Doug? Would they be better with Doug right now?
Well, I think that's an important question that I wanted to ask you guys. You know, if they knew that Carson was going to be out regardless, do you think they would have kept Doug?
It's a very interesting question.
I probably would have. Maybe, you know, I know the coaching staff factored into that. I'll let you guys answer that, and then I want to circle back to the while we're on the topic of the Doug.
I think if they decided, you know, before week 17 that we're going to – the problem is they couldn't really decide that because they didn't know what the market was going to be at that point. They didn't know, you know, what his value was going to be. And at that point, you're still considering like, all right, well, if we have to attach a pick to get rid of him, are we really going to do that? If we have to settle for a 7th-round pick, are we really going to accept that? So in that sense, it's hard to answer. It's not like they could have done this, but I think if they would have had a crystal ball – going into week 17, knowing that, hey, on February 18th, you're going to agree to a trade with Carson Wentz where you get a 3rd and a 2nd that could be a 1st. I think Doug Peterson is still the head coach.
So regarding the allocation of blame, I think that, you know, Carson's the one who fumbled the ball. Carson's the one who threw the interceptions. And there were organizational components to it, and certainly they all bear responsibility, the three other people. But the way Carson played was problematic. And they're not in this position. They're not even thinking about trading Carson Wentz, even if he's angry at the team, if Carson Wentz plays at a high level or even at an above-average level. So the way he played had a large part in this. And also, I'm fascinated to go back when I have a free moment here next week and listen to our podcast from the night they drafted Jalen Hurts, because if my memory serves, Bo was on top of this right away, I think, in terms of like the ramifications it could have on Carson. And I kept saying then, I think my line was, they've shown so much, like they've made this investment into Carson Wentz. How can he be undone by a 2nd-round pick? And I don't want to put words in Carson Wentz's mouth, and I want to hear him speak at some point. But in the absence of his voice, you have to go based on things you hear. And the thing you're hearing is that the Hurts pick was a major issue, and it factored into the way he viewed the organization, factored into the way he was operating this year. And that is staggering to me, and that speaks to A, the organization, Howie in particular, but also Jeffrey for signing off on the pick. If you did not foresee the effect that it could have, because you guys were all pointing it out. But it also speaks quite a bit to Carson. If a second round pick is going to cause that type of undoing, then what does that say about you? So that's why I think Carson bears a lot of responsibility here.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, the organization, they had a bad read on their franchise quarterback and not knowing that it was going to affect him, even as they tried to get ahead of it and let him know and, you know, talk through it and say, this isn't reflective of you. And they had just given him $128 million. So there was, you know, I can kind of see the reasoning there where they're thinking, oh, you know, we just paid him. He's not going to think this is a huge deal. This is a second round pick, but they obviously had a bad read there. But I would agree. I mean, if Wentz cannot handle that, if that's going to cause him to fall apart and be one of the worst quarterbacks in the NFL, then, you know, that is on, that does, you know, reflect poorly on him.
And even worse than that to me is if it's true that he was like, what really set him over the edge was getting benched for Jalen Hurts. And he was taking so much umbrage at, you know, losing his job. That to me is a little bit worse because, I mean, he earned that benching the way that he was playing. And so that's the one that to me is a little bit more maddening on the Wentz front. I'm curious, Shiela, I know you graded, you know, the pick or the trade rather, on The Athletic, which people can read from both sides. Would you guys have done this deal on the other side if you were the Colts? Do you think it's a smart investment for them?
I feel like it's a tough spot for them because, like, I don't like any of the options available to them, to be quite honest. You know, you look at it and it was Wentz, Darnold, even Stafford as an option, signing a free agent, Cam Newton, Jameis Winston. They weren't bad enough last year where they can move up and get, you know, one of the top four guys. And so it's like, well, what are you going to do? You know, so you just kind of, I think at that point, have to pick, all right, what is our best course of action? And I think it's a reasonable gamble for them. I think we'll get into this conversation maybe now about what we think Wentz will do there in the next few years. But I think it's a reasonable gamble because I don't think they're giving up a ton. Although, you know, if he plays a first and a third is not nothing. You know, if he plays 75% of the snaps next year, you're giving up a first and a third, which, you know, it feels like too much to me in many ways. But if you think he can be a top 15 quarterback, if you think that, you know, Frank Reich will build a good relationship with him right away, if you feel like last year was much more of an outlier than anything else, then I think it's reasonable. Like if he plays like he did in 2018 and 2019, I think it's a reasonable gamble to take because you're paying him below market value. If he's a top 15 quarterback, you are giving up compensation, but you literally don't have a starting quarterback on the roster. And so you should be able to at least be like competitive with him. What would you have done if you were them?
I think it is the right move for them.
I might have tried to play a little more hardball and be like, I'm conditional, get out of here. We'll give you a second. You know, you don't have anything else working, but
I think that's probably fair. There is also like, there's a weird dynamic when it's the quarterback, because you don't want to sell it with like, you traded like a sixth round pick for this guy.
Yeah.
Like we're bringing in some, you know, some slappy, you want to at least sell that he's the franchise quarterback. Obviously, you know, the Frank Reich thing is huge, but this is a roster that is like ready made. They have all this cap room, but there aren't many better options out there. I would probably rather have Wentz than Darnold, who I guess would be the, you know, the next best option of the people out there. And like, this is not a scenario for the Colts where they want to like, you know, roll the dice on Jameis or Cam Newton for a year and just push the ball up the hill for another offseason. They sort of need to take a swing. And I do think that like there's a national media, and it's not even national media, it's sort of like, you know, hipster Twitter like treats Carson Wentz like he has always been as bad as he was last year. Like he's a joke. And he's not a joke. Like as a player as a whole, last year he was awful. He was the worst quarterback in football. But there is like a longer proven history of him being an adequate starting quarterback. And if you think that, you know, if Frank Reich as the coach, like he's going to bat for this guy, I think it's a fine swing to take.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Zach, we were talking about, I think we should get into this conversation. Basically, what do you think the future holds with Carson Wentz? This was one of the questions we had answered, whether it's the next 2 years, the next 5 years. I think you said you were buying some Carson Wentz stock. So you are bullish on what he's going to do with the Colts.
Would you say you're like the number two guy on Carson Wentz after Dan Orlovsky?
No. I definitely don't think that. I think if you asked Carson, he would definitely not agree with that either. I've been pretty critical on Carson during the past 5 years. But I don't think he's lost his talent. I think Dan Orlovsky made a really good point. There's a difference between like a bad football player and a good football player who's playing poorly, right? I don't think Carson Wentz is a bad quarterback. I don't think he's lost his talent. I think he needs to be fixed. I think he needs to do a self-evaluation, if you will. But I also think he's entering a situation that is probably as good as he could find, short of like going to Kansas City or something like that. Okay, he has a coach that he's comfortable with. He has an offensive line. They need to figure out their left tackle situation, but the rest of the line is a strong line. They have cap space, right? You know, so they can go out and make a play for Allen Robinson if they want to. Like, they will have better skill players around him than what he had in Philadelphia. And from a market perspective, I think it fits him. You know, I don't think Indianapolis is the type of pressure cooker that Philadelphia is. I think that affected him to a certain degree in the end. And Bo made a great point on a podcast when this first surfaced, right? Like, the Eagles looked at Carson Wentz in a flannel shirt and like in cold weather and thought, that's what makes you fit in Philadelphia.
Really,
but that's not, yeah, like, that's not, you know, it's how do you deal with this type of pressure? And there's really no way of forecasting that when you're looking at somebody who was so accomplished at a small school.
Right? And I do think, like, it is true that if you take a step back and just go over the arc of his career with the Eagles, I mean, it's insane. It is a lot to deal with. Coming in as a number two overall pick, playing like the best quarterback in the league for a season, and then suffering a season-ending injury and watching your backup quarterback win the Super Bowl for the first time in franchise history, then coming back, then getting injured again, and then watching that same backup quarterback win a game in the playoffs, nearly win another, then coming back again, having a good end of the season, and then getting benched a year later. Like, that is a crazy five seasons. So it is a lot to
agreed.
Go through.
Agreed. But, you know, and again, I don't want to compare everyone to Aaron Rodgers, but, you know, and because Aaron Rodgers is a special quarterback, but you're replacing, like, a franchise
Deshaun
icon.
Deshaun Kaiser never won a Super Bowl, though.
Yeah, you're waiting in the wings there for Brett Favre. He's not treating you great. He doesn't want to go. It's an awkward situation to enter, and you step in, and you go on and win
pictures.
The Super Bowl. And then here you are, and you know, you feel like you're ready-made to win a Super Bowl in this window, and they draft your replacement. And he's pissed about it, like Aaron Rodgers said it, but he goes on and he wins the MVP, right?
Sure.
So, like, how do you react to the situation? You know, the Nick Foles thing, that was real during the time, you know, during the 2018 season and the pressure that came with the Super Bowl MVP being in the same locker room as you, like that was real. And even though we say it's a no-brainer decision when the Eagles let Nick Foles go, like, obviously they weren't going to bring him back, but the Eagles chose Carson Wentz over Nick Foles. You know, they could have traded Carson then, gotten more value than they got today, not giving him that contract, and said, we're going to ride with the guy who's won us the playoff games the past two seasons, right? They chose Carson Wentz, and they knew there was this dynamic involved.
Yeah, that history is even more reason why that the Jalen Hurts pick, why that misread was so bad when you look at how the previous years had gone. I think Wentz will be fine. I don't think he's going to light it up. I don't think he's going to be as bad as he was last year. I think they'll be a competitive team. I think they'll probably make the playoffs at least once with him. I think he'll be in like the top 12 to 14 quarterbacks in the NFL. I don't think he'll have a season like he had in 2017. That was an outlier for so many reasons and will be very difficult to replicate, whether we're talking red zone, third down, some of the other things he did that year. And so, I mean, if you're the Colts, that's probably like fine. You know, it's like there was no path where they could add a quarterback this offseason and win the Super Bowl. And it's a 2-year commitment. And so if you're a competitive team, if you continue to build around him, maybe there's a little more upside than I'm giving credit for, but that's how I would expect the next couple of years to be with Carson Wentz in Indianapolis.
It's funny, given how much time we spent talking about Nick Foles as the most high-variance quarterback that we've ever seen, that like the range of outcomes for Carson Wentz for the rest of his career is pretty wide. Like, you know, he could be a top 10 quarterback. He could be out of the league in 2 years. Like, if he has another year next year like he had this year, he's on borrowed time. Like, it could be
Blake
over.
Bortles.
So it is interesting. I think my guess is that he'll be, you know, I would even go a little bit lower. I went like, you know, I think I wrote 15 to 18 is where he'll be over the next couple of years. But I mean, I guess we'll see. He could be worse. Do you think the pick conveys next year, or do you think it bumps to a one?
70. All right. So again, it's seven. He has to either play 75% of the snaps, or he has to play 70%. What a weird. I would love to. Can we get the backstory on that negotiation?
It makes sense. It guards against a week 17 benching.
Exactly. Or sitting your starters.
Right, yeah. Sitting your starters.
Well, kind of. I mean, why do you think that game is going to make
the difference? If he's missed a game, you know, if he's played 14 games, but they're in like an insignificant week 17 game.
Okay, all right. So he still missed games earlier.
He's missed a couple games, but they're going to the playoffs, yeah.
Yeah.
I guess.
I mean, it's an unlikely scenario, but
get more creative.
Just a little
GMs.
You're not going to get it's not going to turn into a top 10 pick. Like, that's not going to happen, because if they're that bad, they will not, like, they will be incentivized
they will bench
to
him.
Not play.
I don't know if I agree with that.
I think there's no way.
When would they make that move? We have half the league. How many teams make the playoffs now? Like, you really have to suck to be out of it going into December. They traded for him, and it's not like they're going to get rid of him after next season. I mean, they're committed to him. I don't think they would. Who are they going to bench him for? Jacob frickin' Eason?
Well, I guess we know that he doesn't take getting benched well. But
I disagree. I mean,
don't think it's a top 10 pick. I think your best case is it's.
Well,
like 14.
I mean, that would be very interesting. Yeah, if he stays healthy. But they suck, and they're like in line for this amazing pick. Yeah. It's like, when would you have to decide? Like, he has to play three quarters of the snap. So we're talking week 13, 14. This could get dicey.
That's true. It could.
That'll be fun to watch. Yeah. It's a nice storyline to watch. There really should be more conditional trades like this.
Absolutely.
Like, this will be fun. It's great for the fan base. I mean, Eagles fans, as I've said before, it's much more fun to root against a team then root for your own team, and now they can just do that like every week.
But it's a weird middle, because you can't root for them to be awful.
That's true. All right. Yeah, that's true. All right.
Like, so you're rooting for a 7-9 team, I think, or like a 6-10.
Yeah, 6-10.
6-10.
Pretty much
like
what
you're like 6-7, and then you lose the last three or something.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. It could be something like that. Anyway.
Sure. You should do a story on a national story on the I'm assigning you work. I'm sorry, but
that's better my way job. Not want to write a story than someone else.
No, like the most creative thing that came up in a trade negotiation at some point.
Okay,
I was listening to. Well, this is a tangent. We shouldn't.
That's
go
what we're
on,
here so. For, baby.
What do you
I,
got?
I was listening
now
to
you
a
have
podcast
to
with Monty McNair, the GM of the Sacramento Kings, and. He used to work with the Rockets. It was and he was asked. It was Woj's podcast, I believe. But he was asked like the most creative thing they workshopped there because they were doing all types of things. And they once made an offer. There was a team, you know, they had like two picks in the teens, and they traded to or they made an offer to a team in the lottery, like in that was supposed to pick number eight, right? So they had X percent chance of picking number eight, but there was this small chance that it could be a top three pick. Then there was a small chance that it could be like after number eight, you know, if like right. someone else jumped up. So basically, the trade was that if the pick is not number eight, we get it. But you would get the number 17 overall pick no matter what, right? So there's like a 75 or like an 85% chance that you just get the 75 that you just get the number 17 pick for free. But if the pick rendered, then the Rockets would have gotten it. It was a real creative proposal.
I would have done like a we're gonna filter situations where both teams had a win probability of 20%, and in those situations he's got to be top let's say top 12 in EPA per dropback. How does that sound?
Yeah, something like that. Exactly.
It really would make, I mean, if you want to like protect yourself or and give upside for, but that's how you should be doing it, right? I mean, who cares? 75%
even allowed.
Snaps. Really?
Rules wise.
Oh, but the NFL should. Yeah. Like I would love if there were weird conditions on.
Yeah, like if he has three mirror plays next year.
Yeah, that too.
Three mirror plays?
Yeah.
From one yard line to the yard line on the other side of the field.
Oh, I thought you meant mirrored routes on like both like their scheme. I'm like, what the hell are you talking about?
It's a Boa
reference. If the Colts kicker hits at least two crossbars the next season.
Make it much more. Think of how exciting they are. It should really be what's the dumb game we play? The
super, end of every that's exactly what I'm
yeah,
saying.
Yeah, it should be. It really should be a super sorecasting. I mean, that's what got Eagles fans through the end of the year watching Eagles games was super sorecasting.
If Michael Pittman makes him throw up because he's so bad, it turns into a first.
Now, Michael Pittman wasn't that bad last year.
Yeah, he was like the 11th best wide receiver drafted in those first two rounds. I stand by it. Okay.
So, Michael, if you're listening, sorry. You're wondering why you just caught this.
Your collateral damage.
Yeah. It has nothing to do with you. I'm sure he was a good person.
He was at least better than Van Jefferson, which I also
said. Well, doesn't like it because you're old, basically. Yes. Yeah.
Devontae Smith, a senior.
I know. I'm a little bit. I gotta do my work, but I'm not thrilled
Coach
about that.
Flynn's gonna come
Coach
after
Flynn's
you
gonna come
on
after
that
me
one.
On that take, but right. I think he likes Kyle Pitts too. Okay, let's transition, I guess, to the other side of this, which is what do the Eagles do now? Do they move? Do they? We talked about it last night. Do you think that it's now Jalen Hurts in 2021, and you see what happens in 2022, or do you think they will seriously consider drafting a quarterback at number six or higher?
I think they will seriously consider it. Now, I don't know if there's going to be one that falls. And I'm not sure that, unless they completely fall in love with a Justin Fields or Zach Wilson, and they're going to trade up with Joe Douglas to two or something like that to get him and sacrifice future first-round picks, I don't know if they would do that again. Like, they need to be utterly convinced in the player to do that. I think the more plausible scenario is what Bo wrote on Twitter, which is like, not on Twitter, what you wrote in our reaction column, which is go with him for your
athletic.com/birdwithfriends for 40% off.
Exactly. Which is go with him for a year, wait and see. If you're wrong, if he's not the guy, then you have draft ammo next year. If he is the guy, then all of a sudden you're flush with cap space and picks to build around him. But I do think they're going to look hard at the quarterbacks this year. And if there is one there at six that they like, they will absolutely take him.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking about this when I thought, there are parallels to 2016. I think it's they're starting fresh with the new coach. I don't think they expect to compete in 2021. It's sort of a reset year. Find out what our coach likes. Find out what we want to do. And you have the number six pick. I mean, they've been such a quarterback focused organization under Jeffrey Lurie and Howie Roseman, that when they're like have a chance to get up high or are up high and they don't have an answer at quarterback, they're going to try to find an answer at quarterback. And so there is risk in if you push it forward a year and do the plan of, all right, let's see what Jalen Hurts has. Jalen Hurts ends up being mediocre. So now all of a sudden you have the, let's say the, I don't know, 14th pick in the draft. The Colts pick does not convey to a first rounder. You don't really have the, I mean, you could always trade future first round picks. You don't.
That's close. That's. I mean, it's within range.
It's within range, but it's, I mean
not to get to number one.
Then you're giving up draft capital in future years to do this. And so you are setting yourself back there, kind of digging that hole, which we heard all the issues.
All over again.
Yeah. So you're doing the same exact process. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing to do, but if you're at six and you love, you know, whether it's Trey Lance, Fields, Bo's boy, Zach Wilson, if you love one of these guys there, I don't know. I would not be surprised if they make a move. And like, you know, a lot of readers, I know just from when I tweeted something out, are like, no, they cannot use a quarterback. Like they don't have an answer at quarterback. And maybe it will be, you know, then your scenario is that guy competes with Jalen Hurts. Maybe Jalen Hurts starts the season as the quarterback. Maybe the rookie beats him out in training camp and it's obvious. And Jalen Hurts goes back to being the backup, which is not a terrible scenario there. You know, that's actually good value for where they took him. So I don't know. We'll give it some more thought. I'm actually excited to, you know, the past few years, there hasn't been a need to sort of really dig into these quarterbacks and form strong opinions on them. And so I'm sure we'll do that. We will all come up with who our favorites are, who we think will stink.
Who's your Jalen Reagor?
Everyone will rub it in our faces once the games are played. But I am not ruling it out at all that they would draft a quarterback.
I think my prediction is that the pick acquired today, the 2022 pick, the headliner, will be used to trade up for a quarterback either this year or next year.
Interesting. Okay. That'd be interesting if they traded this year and like and don't even wait to see the variants to it, right?
I don't think they're going to stay at six and draft a quarterback. That's my prediction. I think if they're going to draft a quarterback, they're going to go up and get a quarterback because I don't think it's like, oh, we'll just take a quarterback. And that's why I wrote that I think Jalen Hurts is sort of the perfect quarterback for this specific moment in time for the Eagles because he's good enough to not force you to take a quarterback if you don't love a quarterback. And he's also not good enough to prevent you from drafting a quarterback if there's one that you love.
And are you guys totally ruling out a non-rookie quarterback being a fat, like could they trade for a Sam Darnold? Could they?
That's interesting.
Do some, you know, like someone who you bring, who you don't exhaust a first round pick on, you bring him in, you pair him with Hurts, you have that competition, and you try to kind of strike gold, and then if it doesn't work, then you go into next year.
Well, Darnold's really, interesting. He's really the only guy I think that fits that. Yeah. Category. I mean, the other guys who are available, they're not like young guys who you think have untapped potential. It would depend on what it takes to what it takes to acquire him. But I am generally of the what's the word I'm looking for? Belief. I'm generally of the belief that you take a I don't mind the taking.
Would you
a
trade
few
your second this year for Darnold?
I don't know. I don't think I would.
He's got 1 or 2 years left on his rookie.
He's got one. You can get him on the fifth year option, but that's going to be costly. And so you have to make that decision, and you might be paying a lot of money for a guy who just stinks. I'm interested to see Sam Darnold in a new spot. I want him to go somewhere with like an offensive coordinator that I like and where he has a chance to succeed. There's always the chance that it's not a bad strategy to go after guys who Adam Gase previously coached and they sucked under him, because those guys generally end up playing a lot better once they are with someone else. A second would be too high. I mean, if you're getting in like the, I would certainly do like a fourth for him.
Well, and you got two thirds now.
Yeah. Might be talked into that. Might be, that's an interesting thing to
What about a Tannehill type which is like you can look at Mariota, you know, a guy had some success. Okay.
All right, no, no, I know. No. That's not poo-pooing you. People do like Mariota. I don't see it with Mariota. And I know. I thought he was going to be really good coming out of college. But having watched him in the NFL, that guy is among the most frustrating quarterbacks, in my opinion, to watch. And I mean, look at what the Titans offense did when they got rid of him and put Tannehill in there. They had a top five offense. And so I'm not getting carried away with like what was it like? Three quarters he played last year in one
game.
Against
the Chargers, yeah.
And everyone's like in love with Mario. So no, I would not want Mariota.
Yeah, but you gotta you gotta at least think of the message that would send to Chip Kelly from Howie's perspective.
What about one of the well, there are free agent. You know, I've got my quarterback free agency preview coming out on Monday.
Well, the two guys who Zach and I outlined in our piece a couple, I guess, last week, Zach said, and this is, you know, you look at the connections. Zach brought up Jacoby Brissett, and I said Tyrod Taylor,
who worked with Steichen. I think Brissett makes all kinds of sense. I mean, if you watched him,
but not to be the guy for you.
No,
but not to be the guy.
No, yeah. I think I don't know. I mean, Hurts doesn't.
Yeah, it's a guy who if Hurts stinks, he doesn't own the job.
I think you could even say it's an open competition in camp. Like, I don't know, Hurts is not going to be the guy who's backing down from that. He's going to be saying, let's go. Brissett's not getting an opportunity elsewhere where anyone's naming him the starter. So Brissett in Indianapolis this year was like one of the most fun like teammates to watch. Like he would go crazy whenever anyone did anything. They would bring him in on like these quarterback sneaks and he would just run it in from the 1 yard line and everyone would go crazy. He obviously has a connection to Nick Sirianni. He presumably knows a lot about, you know, some of the scheme that they're going to run. So, and I don't think he's going to be a guy. We'll see. I mean, if I were a contending team that had money to spend on a backup quarterback, I would really look at him because I think he's one of the best backup quarterbacks available this offseason, but it is a tricky offseason, and I don't know that guys like backup quarterbacks are going to be getting the $6 million a year like a Case Keenum got from the Browns, so it might be like a one-year deal. So I would probably be patient and just like let the market sort of settle and say, all right, who are the $1-3 million guys out there who I can get as a backup? But I do think Brissett would make a lot of sense for them.
Well, and I think you're right that the Eagles offer an opportunity to potentially start. Like you could go win that job probably more than
yeah,
other
he's
places.
Not getting more of a chance anywhere else, right? I mean, to play.
How would you allocate your turkeys on who starts the most games for the Eagles next season between Jalen Hurts, a rookie, a veteran, and Nate Sudfeld?
Oh, I forgot, Bo. You're 8. Go, all right, big lead for us. Zach, that's what true. Did you put on Wentz?
But there's no points on the board for that. So,
like, what do you mean?
He's gone. I don't get points. I just.
Well, yeah, but you're not. Yeah.
It's not ideal.
You lose
for
that
me.
Choice.
Yeah. It's all not right. ideal.
What is it? Hurts, rookie, vet, Suddy?
Suddy.
And what's the question?
Who starts the most games for the Eagles next year? I will go.
Didn't we just do this?
We sort of did. Yeah, but we're adding veterans right. this time. And so
okay.
I'm going to go 51 Hurts, 30 rookie, 18 veteran, 1 Suddy.
I will go 49 Hurts. I will go with 40 with a rookie. And 11 with a veteran and 0 for Nate Sudfeld.
What did Bo put
Sudfeld
on Sudfeld?
Nate Sudfeld is not starting.
I put 1 on Sudfeld.
I got 55 Hurts, 35 rookie, 10 vet, 0 Sudfeld. Sorry, Sudfeld.
No, I'm happy Sudfeld to be in the Sudfeld corner.
Sudfeld does make the free agency preview. That's how deep we're getting on these position
good
by
for
positions.
You.
I don't think he gets a write-up. I'm sorry,
Sudfeld.
I don't think he gets a
write-up. There's a path for Sudfeld. If they can't afford a backup quarterback, they bring him back and then Hurts gets hurt?
No, there's no path. They would sign somebody else.
Okay. Anything else that we need to go over here with just the state of this Eagles team? What more moves do you think are coming now, Zach?
Yeah, I was going to ask you guys that. Like, is this the opening of the floodgates? You know, we've established, for instance, that they are – that this is a rebuilding year. They're taking it on the chin this year with the cap. Like, they know what this year is going to bring to have that flexibility in future years. And by the way, this ties into the previous conversation about keeping Doug Peterson. And like Jeffrey Lurie foretold this occurring, you know, that they're in a transition year and said Doug was not, you know, they had that difference in philosophy. I'm not sure Doug would have signed up. Yeah, true. I'm not sure Doug would have wanted to come back for what is about to happen. And that leads me to saying, like, everybody is available. Now, I don't know how many guys they have that are that can bring major value, but unless it's like so cap prohibitive, like Lane Johnson's contract, they can't trade Lane. There's nothing there. But like Brandon Brooks, they could trade. Fletcher Cox, they could potentially that'd be a big cap hit. But
I don't think they can trade either of those guys. That's the problem with where they are. They're so tight against the cap that the players who like would actually get something of value in return, they can't afford to trade. Let me look.
Because of the cap hit,
Brooks. Brooks, if he's traded, Brooks would save a little bit of
exactly.
money.
Exactly. Yeah.
He'd save Lane, two. He'd save you lose 2.3 million. Lane, you lose money. Cox, I think you lose money.
But always remember that you have to replace these players with somebody, and we can act like, all right, you replace them with all rookies and UDFAs, but like no one does, you can't like realistically do that. And so you're paying somebody then to replace that player. And so you have to add that into the cost as well. But I think that, you know, we've talked about the big ones. You know, Zach Ertz is probably maybe the next big shoe to drop. You know, I could just see a random release probably over, or do you think he'll be able to get traded?
I was so mad the other day. Because in my predictions, I put that he was going to get traded to one of two teams, the Seahawks or the Chargers. And I wrote that ahead of time. It wasn't posted yet. And then somebody reports that, I think Ed Kratz reported that the Seahawks were checking in on Zach Ertz.
Kratz has your number.
I had it first in my brain.
Look, I think they're going to try to, they're really going to try to trade Ertz. It'll get to a point that they don't trade him. He'll ask for his release so he can decide where he wants to go, right? But they will try everything they can to trade him in the next few weeks.
Oh, I like that that Chargers. That's beautiful. Get him on the Chargers with Justin Herbert. You know, he wanted to go to UCLA. His mom convinced him to go to Stanford so he could be in Los Angeles. He could finish out his career there. Great quarterback, sunshine, no media pressure.
They don't have to pay Hunter Henry. They can use that money elsewhere. It's a good one.
It's a smart move. I mean, I don't understand when Hunter Henry became Tony Gonzalez. I mean, really, this guy, franchise tag, and I don't know what someone's going to pay him on the open market. Look at the numbers on Hunter Henry. Like, he's been as mediocre a tight end as there is. And he was playing with a very talented quarterback. So, yeah, Hunter Henry could make in the neighborhood of, that Austin Hooper deal was like between $10 and $11 million last year. And so that's probably what Henry is looking at. So you save a little bit of money with Ertz. What's Ertz at, like $8 million, but he wants an extension too. So, you know, I don't know that that would be great, but I think that's a great landing spot. They've already got Keenan Allen. They've got Mike Williams to stretch the field. They've got Austin Eckler. Oh, man, I'm just going to be picking them to make the Super Bowl next year.
Just by getting Zach Ertz?
No, but just talking about all those players, I already like them. I had them 9th in my power rankings. I think they're going to be good this year. I'm all in on Herbert, so I probably Kapadi cursed him. But anyway, I like that. What do you think? Like a 6th-round pick or something? I mean, I can't imagine you're getting
last
much
year. The comp I looked at last year, the Gronk trade was, I think, a 4th for Gronk and a 7th. So I feel like a 4th or even a 5th is pretty reasonable.
Yeah,
I mean, I think so too.
All right,
Arizona's a team I would watch out for as well.
Okay. Yeah. Does that count as West Coast if on my prediction?
Sure. Yeah, sure.
I don't think Hayden, it does. I didn't say Pacific Times, and I said West Coast. Right. I think I got to hold myself accountable.
Depends on daylight savings, whether a Pacific or Mountain, right?
Some are mentioning that Hayden Hurst drew a 2nd. That's true. He was on a rookie contract, and also that was just a terrible trade.
They are about the same age, though.
That was well. That brings me to my point.
You teed that one up
on my group text here. What was the thing yesterday where Zach said deviated, and you said septum, right? And that's where I said I wish I could have gambled. I wish BetMGM allowed me to gamble on stuff like knowing that you were going to say septum right there. And so, loyal listener of the show, CNAS said, you know, speaking of both podcast quirks, this was before the show, okay, about 20 minutes before the show on our group text. He said, what event will Bo pretend is the big news of the day to open the emergency pod? You know, and Lemur said, and Lemur says, great call. Would love if we nailed what it was. And then verbatim from CNAST, Ted Cruz Cancun trip, LOL.
That's
and
great.
So he was watching, and he said, "Give me all the dollars," because he'd be a rich man if he.
That's fantastic, CNAS. I think CNAS gets a. Let's get him some Birds with Friends swag for that. Since there's no better.
You're on top of that. I'm still trying to get this past these.
I've got like 13 people I owe stuff to, so let's put them on.
Yeah, get those reviews in. I still have to give out two more Pastaficio. These Pastaficio's gift cards have not been claimed. I'm just going to go there and get a couple sandwiches if this lasts like two more weeks.
I like that. All right, Zach, why don't you reset here? What's coming up next for us now that like the thing that we've been waiting to happen has finally happened?
Sure. So in a typical year, we would be going to the combine next week. There is no combine next week. So that obviously changes things here. We will see when we will talk with Howie Roseman and Nick Sirianni. We did not say this. We should tell our listeners. The pick is not or the trade is not official until March. So we mentioned that part of it. But the team cannot comment on the trade until it becomes official.
Although
right?
an interesting so, thing today, the Eagles website got to tweet about it, which they don't usually get to do. So that was interesting. And they did couch it as a conditional first instead of the conditional second, which I thought was funny.
Yeah. So that is so if you're waiting to hear Howie Roseman's reaction, Nick Sirianni's reaction, typically we would have a chance to speak with them at the combine. I'm hoping we have that opportunity in the next few weeks. I know one can perceive that as being like somewhat awkward because the topic everyone wants to talk about, they can't talk about. Nonetheless, I'm hoping we get a chance to speak with them. But as far as what's coming up, it's less than a month now, a month from yesterday, the start of the league year. A few days before that is the tampering period. So that's when free agency kicks into high gear. But now that the Eagles made this trade, they have a better sense of their cap situation, what it's going to be. So I think you'll see in the next 2-3 weeks, things accelerate as far as releasing players, potentially trading players. They have a lot of maneuvering to do to become eligible with the cap. We know the floor is $180 million. We're waiting to see what the cap number is going to be, but the Eagles have some moves to make, so expect that. We will hear from some draft prospects as pro days approach. But as far as hearing from the Eagles, we're kind of waiting to see in that regard.
It's a huge draft, like you said. I mean, our draft prep just got really, you know, it was already really interesting. But now it's like it's crazy with the picks that they have.
God, one of us falls for a Trubisky. Oof. It's going to be tough to live down if one of us falls for a Trubisky.
What do you mean falls for a Trubisky?
Like someone who turns out to be like Trubisky.
Loves a guy who. Yeah.
Pounded on the table for.
I have one thing I want to get off my chest about the draft.
TDs.
Here.
Yeah.
Okay? And I'm going to go on record with this now because I know this is going to come up. And
what
is
he about
be,
to say, Bo? I'm nervous. I've never seen him this intense.
This is going to be a question that people in the media ask, and it's going to be a thing that coaches and GMs talk about.
I know what he's
going to
say.
Okay.
I do not want to hear this excuse that the scouting year is really hard
because
it was an untraditional college season. Like, this is what you're paid to do.
I'm so jealous I'm not having this take.
And number two, it's not like your record is so incredible when you have wealth of information at your hands, right? So maybe this is a good thing, not having like
not
all the access to the
draft.
Yeah. Exactly. So I don't want to hear. I know this is going to be a big storyline. I know this is something that's going to come up. Every team's dealing with it, right? I know there are some guys who you might only have, like Trey Lance. You only have really a season of watching him play. But this is why you're paid, to make those evaluations. So I'm proactively saying that is not an excuse that I think can fly. Like, this is the business you're in.
I have two things on that. One, I do think it is fair to say that, like, if we look at some of the mistakes the Eagles have made, like, we're just talking about how maybe they didn't, you know, understand Carson's personality quite enough. We talked about this with Andre Dillard, like, they didn't have a good enough sense of his personality. It is true that you will have less face time with these guys now than you would in past years. That's true.
I would imagine there'd be a lot of FaceTime going on.
More Zooms?
Oh, literally.
I used your joke right there. Gotcha. True.
I didn't even think about that. Yeah. The other thing is, I don't, like, another thing that is getting me upset already along the lines with you, Zach, is the idea that you would, like, next year's picks are going to be more valuable because it will be a more normal scouting year. Like, it's the idea that you would want to trade picks this year for picks next year. I find very similar to the idea that continuity was going to be so important heading into this season because of the lack of offseason. And then, you know, Tom Brady goes out and wins a Super Bowl his first year with the team. Like, that stuff that just becomes groupthink does not necessarily turn out to be true.
Yeah, I think we were ripping them, or I remember going on a rant last year about the draft stuff when they were already complaining, you know, last year's draft was not the same. And so, yeah, I agree. I mean, there's a randomness to it. You have not perfected the process anyway. You can still have long conversations with these people. I did an Andre Dillard feature where I did not have FaceTime with anybody, and I just called everybody, and they all gave me very interesting anecdotes.
That was a better scouting report on his personality than anything the Eagles had.
Yeah, so it's not not that tough to do. They can figure it out.
Although from my understanding, the complaint this year is not as much the pre-draft process, because I think last year prepared them for that and they know what that is going in. It's more this, they don't have the film from the scouting year, right? There are some teams that only played like a few games. Some schools didn't play at all, really. So you just don't have the same level of information. There are a lot of top players who opted out, for instance, right?
I think
like Jamar Chase, you saw him play 1 year, you know?
I think it's less about the film, and they had a good conversation about this on the Eagle Eye in the Sky podcast with Brandon Duffy and Dan Hatman. Yeah. And, you know, like the report or the story I did last year with Alan Walken, it's less about the tape than it is they didn't get to do any of these in-person visits, the area scouts, when they can talk to the guys they know well, and get as many different voices as possible. What it was this year instead was like one guy from the school goes on a Zoom with every team, and it's recorded. So like what you say is going to be passed along. So you're not going to be brutally honest. You're not going to like tell a few things to guys who you have a better relationship with than other people. And so there is that lack of information, I think. Which I think does play a role. I don't know if it's going to like change the results of the draft, but I think that is something that you do actually have to factor in. You probably know these guys' personalities a little bit less than you would in the past, and maybe that turns out to be like the continuity thing where it ends up not mattering, and maybe it's, you know, you end up just drafting off the tape, and that's a better way to do it. But I think that is the bigger concern from the team side than the tape, because the eye in the sky don't lie.
But there's not a lot of the eye. There's not enough of the eye in the sky.
Yeah, you see when a guy moves, you know, can tell. Last thing, how did you guys find out today? What was your news breaking situation?
I was making an early lunch. I was making some nice Grammy eggs and had a bagel in the toaster oven, and so my phone was in my pocket, and I was listening to a podcast, and so I'm doing all this, and then I what?
Give him a shout.
I don't know which pod it was.
oh, flex.
I don't know. It just cycles through. Although I am a 1.5 man now.
Wow, that's fast.
You know what? This is for audiobooks. Audiobooks, the issue was that they were going too slow, I realized. If you haven't been able to get into the audiobook, try doing it at a 1.5 times speed.
I like
it's
a
much,
1.25 on an audiobook. It's perfect.
Okay. Okay. But then I start eating, and then I took out my phone, and I like had this serious look on my face, and so my wife thought something was wrong, and I think I yelled an expletive or something because I had like I didn't realize how long I had not looked at my phone for, and so there were Slack messages and text messages and all these things, and so I ran downstairs and typed away. No one took the bagel out of the toaster oven, hardened, had to throw it out. Terrible, wasting
food.
That's tough.
That's a tough loss.
Okay.
Wanting to be a good father. I was out.
You are a good father.
Flex.
I know that's an inside. That's a callback to the beginning of the episode.
Gotcha.
I went outside to play in the snow with Casey. And like I had my phone with me, but then we were like rolling around in the snow. So I'm like, all right, I'll go put it in the house. We're playing outside. Then we do a little shoveling. I come in like 45 minutes later. Getting Casey undone, and then Rachel yells down like, "Hey, did you see the news?" Like, no. So I go look at my phone, all the mixed notifications and texts. She didn't understand it, but now she gets it. She got to break news to me for the first time. Now she gets why the ex-girlfriend all those years ago sent the Heath Ledger dead texts or the Bernie Mac dead text. So it's all coming full circle.
The one who left you for her version of the Indianapolis Colts. But, well, you're on paternity leave, so, you don't need to be checking that phone. So are you going to be joining us for podcasts in the weeks ahead? I was kind of looking forward to Zach and I getting some alone time.
Yeah.
Maybe, I get FOMO, but I'll step out for a couple podcasts, let you guys talk about me behind my back.
Okay. How about you, Z-Berm? What was your experience?
I was napping. No, I'm joking. That was
Zach's like, I was on hour 72 of just staring at my phone.
I got a text message from somebody, and then
before it broke,
I saw Schefter. No, not before it broke. Okay. Not before. Like I think around the same time that it broke, and then clearly Schefter had it up, and then Garofalo had the trade compensation, and then it was texting you guys, and Ken, our producer, did a great job. He got in touch right away, and our new editor Adam did a great job. We were in touch with him, so yeah. Then it was just bearing down, working, and so that was the day. But I found out via text, but not like a scoop, like a text from someone saying, "So it's going down," like that kind of thing.
From Jeffrey.
No.
All right.
Someone just said Z-Berm was hiding under Howie's desk when the trade was completed.
Zach was in the room, says someone else. Schefter texted Z-Berm, says somebody else.
I would have loved to be. I would love to be in the room. Yeah.
All right. That'll do it for this episode of Birds with Friends, the one we've all been waiting for. So thanks to everybody who tuned in live on YouTube, and for those of you who are listening elsewhere, or watching the replay on YouTube, you can do that also. So for Zach and Sheil and Kent, who is braving the storms in Texas, and also for Carson, I'm Bo, and as always, we love you. 11 will always love you.
Birds with friends. 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 Birds with friends.
Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.